The Insurance Coffee House is hosted by Insurance Search. Insurance Search provides executive recruitment services to insurance companies, brokers, and insurtechs in the UK and across the United States, attracting and retaining the most successful leaders to your insurance business. To find out more, visit insurance-search.com. The Insurance Coffee House, the place where you get to meet and be inspired by the most successful insurance business leaders from across the world. Hosted by Nick Hoadley, CEO of Insurance Search.
Welcome to another episode of the Insurance Coffee House podcast. Today, I am truly delighted to be joined by Amy Kilpatrick. Amy is the COO at Cadence Insurance, a Gallagher company based down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's great to have Amy join me on the show today. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Amy, really looking forward to hearing more from you today around Cadence Insurance. I know obviously there's a lot of news recently and we've been in discussions for some time around this podcast. So really excited for this today. Before we get on to that though, as we are in the Insurance Coffee House this morning, what's your go-to coffee of choice there?
So I am a little weird. I usually only drink decaf. There is a coffee company local to Baton Rouge called Community Coffee. They do a cafe special and they come in decaf K-cups. So that is usually a go-to for me. If I'm drinking full caf, you know, it's either been a long night or going to be a long day.
That's right. It'd be great for our listeners to learn a little bit more about your background, your career trajectory. And I know you've had a great career there at Cadence. So would you mind giving our listeners a little bit more of an overview of that and how you've ended up in the role that you have now as the COO?
Sure. Graduated college. Most people graduating with some sort of business degree wasn't quite sure what that was really going to look like. My entire career in insurance has been spent in the bank-owned space. And a large reason for that is coming out of college, I went to a bank's management training program. I've graduated from Mississippi State, Fartville, Mississippi, and went to work for a bank in Jackson. And you go through all the different rotations about, you know, learning how to be a branch manager, a lender, et cetera. And nothing was really resonating. That bank had actually purchased, this was 2003, that bank had purchased an agency in 99. And they were still very early on in their journey of just, you know, bringing that that agency into the fold of the large organization and really learning what an insurance broker does. And so the manager of the program said, why don't you go over there for a couple months and do a special project? And I went to the agency and I never left that space. My time, I spent about 7 years there. I was really fortunate to work directly for the CEO. And I'm a very inquisitive person by nature. I like to understand things. I like to know things. I ask a ton of questions. And he let me just literally sit at his feet and ask questions. And he would share things with me that would ask things I probably had no business asking. But he was very transparent with me and helped me really to understand the business of insurance. And then throughout that journey, I spent a lot of time focusing on their early career programs, bringing talent to the industry and to that organization. And then gave me a couple of departments to run and just kind of said, it's your sandbox. Go let it be your management laboratory. You cannot mess it up. And gave me a lot of freedom to do that. And in that, there's freedom to fail and to take risk. And I think that was a really important part of my journey. So kind of flash forward, life brought us to South Louisiana. My husband's job brought us here. And so I was introduced to an agency that I still sit in today that had been purchased by Bancorp South Bank. And that was the start of my career in this organization. So I've had a few different logos on my company vest, but been a part of the same company for 15 years now. My beginnings here were really working with the president for Louisiana on developing a producer training program that evolved into just larger talent development, a lot of early career, mid-career programs, just been a passion of mine, really helping to invest in the talent and organization. And so as that grew, I was also given the opportunity to manage our small commercial team, start that team from scratch. And again, just to try something different, to take some risks in a very supportive environment. Went back to school, got my MBA, and was given the opportunity just to really grow. And one day I walked in and our CEO said, I'm going to add and operations in the back of your title. And that was really the beginning of leading into the COO role. I appreciate his investing in me and believing in me, but he also gave me the opportunity to go test out the job without the pressure of the title yet. He let me get like kind of dip my toe in and learn from my successor, which was, I think, incredibly important just to my personal journey.
What a journey. And it sounds like there's like several sliding doors moments across that. But Obviously, going in, you know, joining a bank, and I'm sure you probably had your own dreams or aspirations as to where that career would take you. Did you ever think in those early stages that you would be COO of an insurance agency?
No, I wish I could say yeah, just because I want people to understand what a fantastic career this industry can give you. But no, you know, when I was in college, I had a marketing focus. I wanted to be the VP of marketing for some global company. And I think you have a perception, and then you also figure out what your true passions are. And that's what this industry has done for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so much opportunity within insurance as well, that if you have the skills, if you have the tenacity, and if you, you know, if you're really driven, then you can achieve so much. It sounds like as well, your time at Cadence as well has just been full of opportunity, and working very closely there with the CEO, you know, that opportunity has just grown and grown, and it's been a great journey. For those of our listeners who maybe don't have such a clear understanding of Cadence, perhaps you could give a little overview, particularly where the business has been over the last couple of years and the growth that you've had.
Sure. Cadence Insurance is what I would call a super regional broker. We are mainly Gulf South. We do go up into the Missouri area, into Arkansas. I've been, you know, that super regional broker and traditional retail insurance broker. We are in that top 100 business insurance, usually somewhere in the mid-30s in terms of our size and scale. In terms of people, run around 750 or so teammates. The organization that I sit in today, again, goes back to some bank-owned roots, but it goes all the way back to the late 1880s. And it's just a fantastic story of history. You know, the next journey in our evolution was, and you see this in the logo here in my background today, was us joining the Gallagher organization. So we were bank-owned, and we have come out of that bank ownership structure and now joined one of the largest brokers in the world. And that's the next step of our evolution in our history and being positioned for growth and what our organization needed to really be able to move forward in the next parts of our journey.
And how have you found that so far? I think our introduction has been through mutual contacts that we got. One of our clients is also a bank owned and made that introduction. The bank had, you know, obviously such a deep-rooted relationship with the business. How have you now found it being part of a specialist and insurance brokerage? How have you found that transition?
I found it to be very positive. You know, I think I put this in my LinkedIn post when the announcement came out. The bank has been our home for 24 years, and there were very strong, important professional and personal relationships developed there. They're our friends. They were our partners. We worked alongside them for so long. But the time was right for both them and us. And this really was the thing that we needed for our future. And just in terms of, it's been fun being owned by an insurance broker, you know, having a parent company that speaks our language every day and lives and breathes insurance every day has been a lot of fun. And we're looking forward to just what the future is going to hold in terms of what it brings to our clients, certainly what it brings to our teammates, and just what the next chapter for us looks like.
In terms of that next chapter, what is those sort of short to medium term aspirations for the company now that you are part of the Gallagher Group?
Yes, I think short term, it's all about helping to connect our teams to the Gallagher teams, helping to connect our clients to this huge suite of resources that we now have access to. You know, even our teammates, just in terms of their career development opportunities, just things that are now available to them that maybe weren't in our legacy world. And really just a lot of it, I feel like it's been a lot of days playing traffic cop, you know, helping to get people connected to the right group or right team. I mean, that at some point will, you know, just organically kind of evolve. And I think then it's going to be about how do we best harness and leverage the power of Gallagher that we have behind us. And again, to make sure we're delivering best in class resources service to our clients, but also helping to grow the business and working alongside our Gallagher teammates in our local markets to go conquer these markets, go conquer the world.
It's such a great opportunity. And personally, in your role there as COO, you've been a very key player in that merger, in that acquisition, building the business up and taking it through that process. Now, very much that integration part of things. How have you found that as a CEO going through such a big change?
It certainly is change. And change, even the most positive change, can still come with a feeling of apprehension, anxiety, all those things. And so I think that for us, it's helping our teams understand the changes that are coming. It's helping them understand the why behind it. It's also helping them to see the other side. And sometimes you have to go through a little bit of a pain period to get to the better part, right? And so that's, you know, what we're doing. We try to do our very best to be very clear about what's coming and what to expect. And this is what we're going to gain on the other side. It's very much a collaborative conversation, though, you know, with our teammates, with the Gallagher teams that we're working with, and really looking at what's best for, you know, for Cadence or clients or teammates.
And that leads very nicely onto the subject I know that you were keen to talk about, which is transparency in leadership. What we do on this show is trying to ascertain something that's particularly worked well with an organization or our guest is particularly passionate about. For you, it's very about transparency in leadership. What does that mean to you, first of all? What does transparency in leadership mean to you, and how do you try and adopt that into the business?
So I think for me personally, it's probably a couple of different things. One is a little bit more maybe intentional around your communication strategy. The other is maybe just something that arises out of your culture. So for us culturally, we are a very collaborative group, and this comes from, you know, leadership all the way through our teams. And we are, the term open door organization or just open organization is so cliche. It is so real in our world, though. I have teammates of all different levels of experience and roles, et cetera, literally walking in and out every day asking questions. The same, our CEO is right next door, the same for him. We've been able to create an environment, a culture, and a feel where anybody feels like they can raise their hand, call a senior leader, and ask a question. And so I think that's been an outcome of our culture and just how we work and just who we are as people. But the other part of that is being very intentional in your communication. And so we put into place, whether it's different initiatives or just different communication cadences, no pun intended, but just really wanting to be intentional about how often we were in front of our people, that what we were sharing, what we're developing. You know, like many organizations, we would do a strategic planning session every year. And we would share that plan with our teams to help them understand what are the initiatives that we're focused on? What roles do they play in that? What are we all shooting for together? You know, we would always have a common goal every year for the entire organization. It was in every single employee's goal plan, CEO, all the way to, you know, somebody helping us in an administrative position. Same goal we're all working towards. And I think that you can't expect people to rally around a goal unless you help them understand what that goal is. You got to tell them. And you also have to help connect, I think, every person's role or every team's role back to that goal. So if it's to grow revenue, that's going to look differently for sales versus somebody in more of an administrative support role. But every single person plays a key and critical function in doing that. And then I think you have to update people. You have to help them know, how are we doing? Are we tracking to goal? And if we are, what does that mean for us? And what does that mean that we're going to be able to accomplish? And maybe, you know, to a degree, what's in it for me? And so I think just being really clear and transparent about all those things along the way are critically important.
Yeah, hugely so. In terms of the merger, how did you find being transparent around such a sort of a big deal and such a big change in the business like that?
Yeah. So for us, it was maybe a little bit different scenario than some other brokerages who have sold. You know, again, we were owned by a bank. That bank was publicly traded. So we were not allowed to talk publicly about the transaction, period, until it was announced to the public. And that was hard because we like to bring our people along the journey that we're going on. And so it did create, I think, just a different challenge for us. And so we had to pivot and just think through, okay, we can't do this piece, but what can we do? And so the deal was announced to the public. I think it was 7 a.m. or so on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, October 24th. And we had an email teed up to go out at 7:01 to our team and then invited them to a call at like 8 or 8:15 that morning. And so trying to, if we couldn't do things beforehand, if we couldn't bring people through that journey with us, we wanted to bring them on, like stop the train for a second, get everybody on board. Let's talk and communicate now. And then we're all on the same train moving forward. And so that's just the way that we handled it. And again, I think explaining the why, explaining the impact, helping to maybe ease anxiety, you know, change again, the best change in the world can come with a lot of questions. And we try to help address those.
I really love, you know, the two strands to it, too. The over-communication and just the cadence of communication, like you said there, is so critical. But then also it really coming from the culture. Do you find with the culture of transparency there that the transparency comes from the culture, or is quite an intention that we're going to set the agenda that the culture of our company is going to be transparent, we're going to have an open door policy? Or is that something that just organically grew as the business grew?
I think that it's a little bit of both. Our leadership team today, as individual people, just very communicative, very collaborative, very open door. That's just the style of leaders that each are. And that obviously portrays itself and manifests in different ways.
Yeah.
But we also realize, okay, we've got this great kind of thing here, but we're not really leveraging that and harnessing it. And so then how can we be more intentional and doing these things that we want to? This is not exactly what you asked, but you know, 2020, the pandemic was obviously a little bit of an opportunity for a lot of companies to look in the mirror and to think about their culture and just how they view work and all these things. And we took that opportunity just to sit down and write our core values. And one of those key core values, I think it was the first one to write down, was around relationships. And so that's where I think we've got to be. And obviously with the pandemic, staying connected to people was so important. And so that particular time in our company's history really taught us how to be much better communicators and how to be a lot more intentional and focused. And we publicly said, this is something we stand for and we have to deliver on that. We're going to deliver on it.
Yeah, fantastic. I think that was just one of the positives to come out of the pandemic, was that opportunity to have a refresh and have some reflection and decide how you want to build the business in the next stage of its journey. Brings us nicely onto the espresso round now, where the questions are short, sharp, and to the point. So can we do a decaf espresso round?
We could do decaf espresso, sure.
The espresso round.
Amy, what recommendation would you have for leaders or executives coming in to interview there at Cadence? What would your one recommendation be to them?
Two things. One is, again, I'm not trying to be cliche, but it's being authentic. I think we are a company whose culture and just whose core values, you know, recognize what each individual person and the uniqueness of each person brings to the table. And we love people that think differently. We love people that have a different perspective on life. And so I think it's just being authentic to who you are as a person, your personality, like just the things that make you you, because that's what's made you successful throughout your career to that point. And that's what we want to harness the energy of. I think the other thing is, you know, walking into a new organization is never easy, and learning kind of the dynamics and the people and the lay of the land. And I think the other thing is just is listening first, you know, listen to learn. And I think doing that first, I think, helps to give you just a great foundation for moving forward.
And looking across the board sort of to your peers in the market, COOs, other executives within the insurance world, if you had one advice for hiring high quality talent, what would that be?
So something that we have, I think, seen success in, you can find talent in all kinds of kind of hidden spots. People don't necessarily have to get their experience inside the workplace. We have people that are fantastic community leaders, leaders in maybe just different civic organizations, religious organizations, and they have learned a skill set outside of the workplace that they have been able to come and deploy inside of our organization. And so I think when it's looking for, you know, particularly those leadership skills, management skills, or somebody who wants to kind of take that next big leap in their career, it goes back to looking at them holistically, not just what's on maybe a resume under work history, but what has this person done just overall? And that's been, I think, an opportunity we've been able to leverage and harness.
Thank you, Amy. I think that's such a great point. And I think it's often something that's overlooked. I think particularly at senior leadership level, I know we talk about an hourglass sort of career trajectory, maybe starting off quite broad, really specializing in an area. And then as you get up into those leadership positions, it being a lot broader and it's a lot more transferable. But you think that can also not necessarily just be lines of business and lines of coverage, but actually coming in from different industries and different areas to bring those skills to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. And people learn a lot in all different facets of their life, and they can bring that, and those skills are transferable for sure.
In our own business, we love hiring people who've got great tech skills, even if that's, you know, not part of their job description or part of their role. It's the value they can add in sharing and learning what we didn't know. When it comes to hiring talent and partnering with recruitment agencies or executive search providers, what's the key thing to you? What's the most important thing when you do partner with an external agency?
I think they've got to bring something to the table that we don't have today. And meaning, you know, for us specifically, we've got a great team of recruiters, but somebody is always developing something new and somebody is always, you know, tweaking something. And so I think that for us to partner with somebody externally, they got to bring something to the table that makes us better than what we have today.
And in terms of the technology that you have there internally, your internal recruiters, your internal talent acquisition team, is there some technology there that you're using that is helping you to bring in talent to the organization?
We probably use the same tools that a lot of our peers use in terms of, you know, certainly there's all kind of different job boards, you know, LinkedIn Recruiter. There's a lot of different tools like that. I don't think the magic is in the technology. I think the magic is in being diligent about its usage, having a strategy around its usage, having a process, having accountability around that, and really being willing to kind of to test things and then tweak it. And, you know, you don't just put something in on autopilot and leave it. I think for this to work really well, and for the technology platforms to deliver for you, you have to constantly be kind of tweaking and improving along the way as you learn more.
And I think the recruiting side of things is so similar to the insurance side, where it's a people first business. The technology is there, which can just help with efficiencies, can help that person, that recruiter, yeah, or that producer or that account executive, whatever it might be, can help them with their role. Yeah. So yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities there. Amy, final question in the espresso round. What would you say the one lesson your job's taught you that you think everybody should learn at some point in their life?
So I'm going to go back and give a similar answer to what I gave in your first question, and that's authenticity. I think I was probably given just bad advice early on in my career, and as a college professor, obviously I'm not going to name his name. I'm a naturally kind of outgoing, very positive person. I talk with my hands. You see those popping up here. They're just things that are who I am. Sometimes I wear my heart on my sleeve. If they know me, they can read my face, read my emotions. And he gave me advice that wasn't appropriate in the professional workplace. And I wholeheartedly disagree in that. I think that showing emotion and transparency and vulnerability as a leader is so incredibly important. It doesn't matter kind of your age, your gender, any of those things. We all are who we are. For the first probably 8 to 10 years of my career, I thought I had to be this stoic person, and that is not me. And showing, you know, again, just vulnerability, emotion, transparency, it strengthens the trust with your team, and it lets people see and know the real you. And there's incredible value in that. So again, just bringing it full circle, authenticity.
It's so important to be your true self. I know sometimes within my own business, or when I've been asked to be a podcast guest or to speak at an event, and we sort of huddle up and we're like, right, what's the strategy of this? How should we position ourselves? And actually the best thing, be yourself. Yep. Just talk openly. That's going to give you the best performance that you can. I think that's wonderful that you've been able to do that. I do also think the culture in business has changed over the years. You know, maybe that advice back in the day might have been a little bit more par for the course. I think leaders can be a lot more vulnerable now, and people can be more transparent, and there's not so much of the ivory towers. And I think that really helps, not just team members and the people working with leadership, but the leaders themselves. Everybody is human. And that's the great thing about the world of insurance. Personalities as well.
Absolutely.
Amy, we're almost at the end of our time today. Time has certainly flown very quickly. It's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed hearing about Cadence, and I'm sure the next step in the journey is going to be a very, very exciting one. Before we go, if there are any listeners out there now who, you know, considering an opportunity, maybe at Cadence, maybe this is the first time they've heard of the business and opportunities there, what's the best way for them to either reach out to you or learn more about some of the opportunities you have there?
Yeah, so a couple of different ways. You know, our website, cadenceinsurance.com, and just in terms of opportunities, you know, those are listed on that website. But also happy to connect with anybody over LinkedIn. It's just Amy Kilpatrick. If you search LinkedIn, I think I'm the only one that pops up, at least in the insurance space. So pretty easy to find, and happy to connect and change notes with anybody.
Yeah, certainly the only one at Cadence Insurance as well.
That's right.
Amy, great to see you today. I know we've been in talks for this for quite a while. Really glad that we managed to speak. Great to hear what's happening there at Cadence. Look forward to welcoming you back or members of the team back in the future and see how that journey is continuing to go.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate the opportunity and your time.
Thank you for listening to the Insurance Coffee House with Nick Hoadley. Join us next time for another episode packed with insights and advice for senior leaders, C-suite executives, and ambitious insurance professionals. Stream all episodes at insurance-search.com.